live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Joining us, as always, are Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish here on our live blog, along with the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. Corey Banky, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Joining us later tonight will be Ty Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But right now, we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Scott Tolzien
solidifying his spot on the 53-man roster.
Jayrone Elliott
getting a sack while being held.
Ladarius Perkins.
Not quite enough to make the squad, but a good showing against the Chiefs.
And we got the bad. We got Josh Boyd.
Not exactly engendering confidence heading into Seattle in week one.
Garth Gerhart.
Pretty nondescript performance. All right. Kind of bad.
Ryan White.
So bad he got cut.
And we got the ugly. We got Kyree Thornton.
You know, and I kind of feel bad because the guy got hurt, carted off, and he got put in the ugly. But that's because even before he got hurt, his performance was ugly, and his injury kind of did a favor for Ted Thompson and crew. Put him on the IR, redshirt him this year, bring him back next year. Hope against hope that maybe he shows something in 2015.
Welcome to Packer Transplants.
I'm going to have a little Wisco Disco there.
Oh, yeah. That's some good stuff. I'll have one myself. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Here we are.
Everybody, but Kyle Cousineau is with us tonight.
You know, Kyle used to be a big supporter of this year's site, this year's show, but apparently.
Used to be his favorite show, Nagler.
Yep, but now it's too big. He's too big. He's a mayor now, and he's got to, like, you know, attend to mayoral duties and just can't handle getting here at promptly at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central to join us live here at Cheesehead TV, Packer Transplants Live. So, you know. We get it. We get it. You're bigger than Cheesehead
TV. Oh, we understand.
We know what's up.
We know.
So, but on the good side of things, there's more Wisco Disco in the fridge. It's here with us. Stillman Brewery is still with us. And we're exploding on social media. So thank you so much. I can't believe the Facebook likes have kind of taken off in a very spookily way. So thanks so much for engaging with us in social, engaging with us on the site. There's lots of great content this week. And I'm just shocked how people have responded to the Lot of Ball Game Left t-shirt, which is up, ladies and gentlemen. You can buy it for a very limited time, very limited run. Get your Lot of Ball Game shirt left. I put a post up about the phrase and how it's kind of just taken on a life.
I love how neither of us are wearing one right now.
It's
brilliant.
It's what we do, man. It's all right. We talk about it. People go search it out. They'll find it.
We sold a lot last night.
I know, which is kind of crazy.
We sold like 25 or 30, I think.
Shut the front
Seriously,
door.
My phone was blown up.
That's crazy.
Because when the PayPal happens on Cheesehead TV, it sounds like somebody's texting me, so it sounds like I'm really popular.
Well, you are really popular.
But instead, it's dollar signs.
It's dollars. Dollar bills, y'all.
Penny signs.
Well, that's true. But you know what? You know what else is up on the site? Speaking of, well, there was good content, and then there's my content. There is the heart and head prediction for 2014, that's right. Every year, I give you a prediction from the heart and from the head. And this year is no different. The heart and the head are up. Go take a look. Laying out my reasoning for both. I hope you enjoy it. I know I got a little play in the comments section as per usual, but go check it out. Tell me what you think. Leave a comment. Blast at me at Twitter or Facebook and let us know what you think.
Jamie Snowden, don't worry. Alex Talish will send you a medium.
Oh, very good. Very good.
So just want to say a little word about Stillmank Brewery.
All right. Lay it on me.
This is the official brewery of, it's not really. It's the official brewery of Cheesehead TV. I was going to say the official beer of Lambeau Field.
No, but it's only a matter of time.
Eventually it will be.
You know, they're served in Lambeau. We've had people comment.
It's pretty amazing.
Two weeks in a row now.
Got to give him props.
Yeah, got to give Wildy props for tweeting out. Isn't that the official beer of Cheesehead TV?
Yeah.
Which it is, by the way.
I liked it.
Served in Lambeau. 2 weeks in a row now, people tweeting us your pictures of the Wisco Disco at Lambeau.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Keep going. Keep it coming.
Keep it coming. Let us know. And not just at Lambeau, wherever you are in Wisconsin or anywhere else in the country. We happen to be in New York City.
Have a Wisco Disco in New York City and you don't tweet it, I don't think it's possible, but...
Yeah. It's not physically possible.
That's my favorite thing about the whole sponsorship.
Is that we're
the only people in Manhattan drinking this right now.
To the best of our knowledge. I'm just saying, it's always possible.
I'm just saying.
All right, enough of our tomfoolery. Let's get down to some hardcore Green Bay Packers news.
Okay.
All right. So first of all, coming out just a couple hours ago, actually, from Mr. Rob Domofsky, he talked to everybody's favorite agent, Alan Herman, who also, by the way, is stationed right here in New York. Herman indicated that it only makes sense for the Packers to put J.C. Treader on the injured reserve designated to return. Now, what's interesting about this is Alan said this to Rob, clearly. That, of course, caught fire on Twitter. Now, all the outlets have posted about it. Packers News has it up. ESPN has it up. Rob's, you know, actual bit about it. I think Journal Sentinel's picked it up. But this is the agent. This is Alan Herman, who, by the way, every time he opens his mouth, the Packers need to freeze him out. Because all he does is talk junk about the Packers.
Good luck with that.
You know, last year when Treader got injured in the fumble recovery drill, he was like, why are they doing a fumble recovery drill? Because it's football. You know, when he was Ryan Grant's agent, when, you know, the whole Brett Favre thing was going on, and they offered Ryan Grant whatever they offered him, he said it was the most insulting offer I've ever seen in my years of doing it. Like, he's always talking junk about the Packers. He just needs to be quiet.
Yeah, but if you're an agent, isn't that your job?
Tom Condon isn't making headlines, and he's getting J.J. Watt $100 million.
Yeah, but J.J. Watt has the number one stat for, like, everything for defensive linemen.
J.J. Watt is a beast in a generation of talent.
I mean, I could be J.J. Watt's agent.
Well, I don't know about all that. J.J., don't listen to him.
Why are you hating?
I love you, man.
I'm just saying.
You can't be J.J. Watt's agent.
I could. I wouldn't want to be.
You could try.
But I could try.
So anyway.
If I was J.J. Watt's agent, though,
yeah,
he would be on the Packers.
You would force him out of Houston. I like it. I like it. I think Packers fans would like it. All right, so... J.C. Treader, so Alan Herman seems to think that the Packers are going to put J.C. Treader on IR designated to return. So watch out for that. We'll see. I don't know. Corey and I were listening to QB1's radio show
with
Mr. Wilde.
That was good.
Earlier today.
I liked it.
And it's interesting how, go back and listen to it if you get a chance, people, and listen to QB1's reaction to Jason Wilde saying that there's a possibility that Treader could be out for a while. Like, it doesn't sound like Aaron Rodgers thinks he's going to be out for a long time. But then Rodgers, of course, took it upon himself to give Wilde and the media a shot about injury reports and sources. And
yeah.
It's good stuff.
It was good.
Rodgers was a little prickly.
They were saying they're in mid-season form.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah. It was good. It was good.
Kind of like
good
transplants.
Stuff. I can't.
We're in mid-season form.
We're not even close. We're still preseason. Still very much preseason. Check that out if you get a chance. But so, we'll find out about that on Treader. Moving on. Another year. Another great practice squad debate. I love this. And I know it's not like this everywhere else. Every other fan base in the NFL is not like this. So I have to appreciate the passion. I love how involved people get about cuts and who gets kept and who's brought back to the practice squad. But... holy cow, the 48 hours of Roll versus Goodson versus why did they keep Goodson? Why is Roll not on the practice squad? Oh, wait, they're bringing back Roll. Oh, wait, they cut Alex Gillette, which I was genuinely sad about because I think he has a promising career if a team gives him a chance. I think he's worth developing. But, just nonstop. I tell you what, Dimitri Goodson... He should put out a line of t-shirts right now because his name will never be hotter. He will never be talked about as much as he has been talked about.
If he gets a pick in the game.
But that's my point. He's never going to play unless everyone is injured.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. And that was bringing
okay,
me
look
my
at
next
last
point.
Year, cornerbacks. Pretty mm-hmm. much every cornerback played by the end of the season.
Yeah, I suppose. A lot did. I mean, only because Hayward went down early, you know? But, I mean, House played, and House was on the 53. It wasn't like they brought up a practice squad guy. I mean, I guess Goodson will eventually get maybe a chance if there are injuries, and this is the Packers. So
I mean, I just don't buy Bush in the starting lineup. I'm sorry.
Well, he's
I
not going to be in the starting lineup.
I know he's going to be in the nickel, and he's going to be in the dime. I get it. But do you see...
But on the field,
Do you see Jarrett Bush... As a one or a two?
No, no chance.
Okay, well, why is this guy on our team? Seriously. Special teams.
Because he's a special team.
Okay.
He's a special teams demon.
And how is Banjo not a better special teams demon than Jarrett Bush?
Because he doesn't have the experience. And because Bush knows three different spots within like 100 different sub packages. And because he's kind of proven it. I mean, not only did he have an interception in a Super Bowl.
Thumbs down.
Big
on
one.
That.
He... Broke up the fourth down pass to Tony Gonzalez last year, lest we forget, to basically win the Falcons game. The guy, you know, for all the crap he gets, the guy just goes out there and battles. He's one of the hardest workers on the team. I am pro Jarrett Bush.
I'm not.
Corey, I am pro Bush.
I'm not pro Bush, and I'm not pro Flynn, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
This.
I'm not afraid.
It's all right. We know.
I'm not afraid.
Well, at least
you know, maybe it's because of my rigidity. Maybe it's because I'm a very rigid person, and once you can't fall on the ball in the playoffs in 2007, maybe I just
no. Maybe not just the playoffs. Like it's the NFC Championship game.
The only time the Green Bay Packers have lost an NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field.
That's a hard one. It's a hard one to let go.
Can we just have a moment of silence for that game? Okay.
All right, so moving on.
Let's go back to the offense.
Let's get going with the offense here. Okay, the offensive side of the football. Okay, more than anything else, this game is setting up to be the redemption. The redemption. And I know what you're thinking, people. You think you know the next words that are going to come out of my mouth. You think it's going to be of the Fail Mary, but you would be incorrect. This game is about the redemption of Brian Bulaga.
There you go.
The man has not played. Didn't play last year. Man has not played. Played horribly last time this team was in Seattle. And as Mike McCarthy so eloquently put it, they all need to go back to Seattle and exercise some demons. I get that. But no one more so than Brian Bulaga, who, to be charitable, was god-awful the last time this team traveled to the great Northwest. So it'll be very interesting to see. And I saw a quote from Bruce Irvin, who tormented Bulaga in the first half of the last game, saying he hopes they can spook the Packers' offensive line again. The Seattle defense hopes to spook the offensive line, which I find interesting because if you look at the offensive line the last time the Packers went to Seattle, you'll see Jeff Saturday at center, and you'll see... You'll see Marshall Newhouse at left tackle.
Yikes.
It's a little different. It's going to be a little different this time. And I'm not saying they're going to just going to like, you know, throw up 500 yards, four touchdowns and whatever. But it will most certainly be different. Of course, it all comes back to and is all dependent on our next point. It is all about Mike McCarthy. Now, we touched on this a little bit last week, but I want to go a little bit kind of deeper here.
Uh-oh.
Like when we were talking about McCarthy, and if he's smart, now we've said this before, if he's smart, he'll come out, and I know it's a cliche, run the football, run power, you know, get out there with two tight ends. But last year, overwhelmingly, 11 personnel was his favorite package.
Okay, explain what that is.
11 personnel. It's like you use two numbers to describe how many running backs and how many tight ends. Everything, and after that, whatever number, that's the number of wide receivers. So in 11 personnel, you've got one running back and one tight end, which leaves three wide receivers.
Okay.
So that was far and away his favorite personnel package in 2013. And when they were in Seattle in 2012, he ran a ton of not only 11 personnel, but 10 personnel, and just all this stuff where multiple wide receivers in spread formation in the first half. Lo and behold, in the second half, he came out in what we call 12 personnel, which is one running back and two tight ends. If he doesn't have at least...
But what about John Kuhn in the fullback blocking role?
Then that's fine.
What about iPhone?
22 personnel is fine with me. I'm all good for the 22.
That's 22 personnel?
22 would be two running backs, two tight ends.
Gotcha.
12 personnel would be one running back, two tight ends.
Gotcha.
I'm all about, if he's in just one iteration of that, say 40, 45% of the game, they have an excellent chance of winning
this
football game.
How many times last year
did... Oh, boy. You're really going to play gotcha now. You're going to play stump the chump, aren't you?
I said this last week. Mm-hmm. How many times last year did we say McCarthy needs to run the ball?
Oh.
And he came out.
Well, hey, but to his credit, he was kind of forced to when Aaron Rodgers went down and Eddie Lacy was basically the focal point of the offense.
Yep.
And teams knew they were going to run the ball.
Yeah.
Teams were completely...
Later in the season. Okay, but early on in the season.
Prior to the injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, it was working. That's the other thing. Like, if you extrapolate Rodgers, you know, stats from when he was healthy to if he had stayed healthy, he was having one of his best years ever. As far as just...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But you can't get into that trap in Seattle. You just can't. And I want to believe Mike has learned his lesson. And I know we're all very excited about the hurry up. We're all very excited about all the new skill position players. And we're all very excited to see Aaron Rodgers throw it around the yard. But let me tell you something. This game right here is the ultimate game of everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Which is the famous Mike Tyson quote, where it's great that you've got all these ideas for beating cover three, and you got all these ideas for taking advantage of their personnel, and everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And I was watching the 2012 game earlier tonight, and it's funny how often these guys, Rodgers actually a number of times hits guys perfectly in stride. They've got, what looks like a decent amount of field in front of them, and they can get some yak. And these DBs are no joke. Guys like Chancellor, guys like Sherman. I mean, these guys, once they put their hands on you.
Sherman is the best cornerback in the league, right?
Absolutely. And when you look at that tape, you see Greg Jennings, one of the better guys at eluding defensive backs. Once he has that ball in his hands, it's lights out. He does his thing where he's trying to avoid, and Chancellor just takes his arm and just like absolutely ratchets it down and done. You're done. There's like three different plays where Greg Jennings just needs a yard for a first down and he can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's this defense. That's this secondary. And that's why they've got to get Eddie Lacy going. They've got to get all three of those guys
going. The thing
going.
Is, if you get Eddie Lacy going, the game's over.
I tend to agree with you. I think Zach Cruz tends to agree with you, too.
I mean, Eddie Lacy is one of those running backs, that... He's a top fiver. I said it right now. He's not really a top five, but
he's gonna be
that guy.
He's gonna be.
He's an all star. He's a top five. If he stays healthy, the entire team can go on the back of Eddie Lacy.
Yep. I agree.
As long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, of course, because Aaron Rodgers, you automatically just, like you said, Aaron Rodgers is out. I don't have to worry about passing.
Now I go
to spread offense. Now I go to all this trickery because I'm really gonna want to run the ball.
Yep. Yep,
and especially the screen. I mean, us doing screens so early in the preseason, I think, hopefully, was a symbol,
right?
That we really are going to go after that.
Use it. Well, heavy blitzing teams, and that's the thing. I don't think you'll see it a lot against Seattle, just because they don't have to blitz a lot.
Right.
They have lots of guys that they come, shuttle in and out to rush the passer. But down the road, yeah, I think that'll be especially against guys like Rex Ryan in week two and things like that, who do like to blitz a little bit more. I think you will see it.
If we get ahead on Seattle, Seattle's going to want to blitz.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. They just love to run their stuff on D. I mean, seriously, there's so many times.
Yeah, but how many people have really gotten ahead?
That's the other thing.
That's the thing.
The last team
such good ball.
The last team to beat them in Seattle was Arizona. And even Arizona was never really like blowing them out. Like they were never like way ahead. Like it was a tight game most of the time. And Carson Palmer threw four interceptions in that game, and they still beat the Seahawks.
I mean,
so
if we just run
it
no
can
huddle,
be done.
Okay,
it can
here's
be
how,
done.
Here's the whole game, right?
Oh, really? Corey breaks it down.
No huddle for the first two drives.
Got it.
Both result in touchdowns.
Naturally.
Then we do a typical Packer coach, which doesn't matter what Packer coach there is.
No, it's
which
just
is
Packer coach.
Play to lose instead of playing to win. right? Once you get ahead.
So now they're going to button it up.
So then they're going to button it up. They're going to go back. They're going to play boring, right?
I formation, lead ISO and then it's, for three yards.
And prevent defense, of course. You have to. 4th and 26.
Again, Packer coach. Yes.
And then it's going to be a heartbreaker at the end of the game and actually we'll win, but it didn't have to be that way.
You said heartbreaker at the end of the game. That's all I got to say about that.
You were just waiting to use
that. I was waiting, dude. Just waiting.
Aaron just realized that I had these things. Yeah,
I'm pretty excited.
He's like, why aren't we using those in the show?
We should be totally using these in the show. So let's get on the defensive side of the ball.
Okay.
Before we have to take a break and call our buddy, Ty Dunn.
Okay.
All right. Here's the thing. Mike Daniels, friend of show, love him to death. He's made it very clear the Packers want to take the initiative this year. They want to punch people in the mouth. They want to get after it. Now, if you watch the Seahawks in the preseason, you'll see lots and lots and lots of quick hitting, misdirection, bubble screen, smoke route, like lots of quick hitting stuff that's going to take advantage or going to try to take advantage of what I think is going to be the Packers' over-aggressiveness early. They've got to survive that. Because you're going to see Percy Harvin in the slot getting, you know, a little smoke screen out there. You're going to see even like little Christian Michael, who's an amazing back, get a screen early on. Like you're going to see stuff, or even counter plays to Marshawn Lynch. You're going to see stuff that's going to try to take advantage of Clay Matthews, AJ Hawk, Mike Daniels. These guys are all there to prove something.
Yeah, but it would be interesting if that was all hype. Right. And actually, the Packers went into a contain mode because they have the personnel now to contain.
I'm very interested to see.
Can they play disciplined defensive line football?
And how much of a difference does Julius Peppers make on the outside and the edge against the run? Everyone's talking about him as a pass rusher, and I understand we want to limit his snaps somewhat comparative to how the Bears used him last year. But just a little sample we've gotten so far in preseason – he's going to make worlds of difference on the outside, containing against the run.
Well, and Julius Peppers is a very disciplined player, too.
Yeah, that's he doesn't just even though it's funny because the first touchdown of the season that they gave up, he went way too far upfield. But it's preseason. You know, he's preseason. His first game is pouring rain. He's like, why the fuck am I out here? Like, blah. But like I said, as the preseason's gone on, you've seen kind of what he can bring to the defensive side of the ball against the run. And like I said, everyone talks about him as a pass rusher, but the Packers have been horrific, horrific at holding the edge. Again, especially against teams that like to motion, which the Seahawks do. Most notably last year against the Eagles, they were abysmal on several plays. But, and this brings me to something else I was thinking about, and this is totally off script. Something I was thinking about earlier this week. It's funny how Kevin Green, quote unquote, retired to, you know, go be with his family. And then he shows up at Eagles camp and is coaching the Eagles linebackers for a couple days just as a visit, you know, blah, 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 blah. So maybe trying to dip his toe back into the water. Blah, blah. Looking at all the blown contains over the last like 2 or 3 years, specifically from the outside linebackers where Kevin Green was coaching, I just wonder.
Yeah, but Kevin Green never blew contain, very rarely.
I know. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with his coaching. That's what I'm saying. Like maybe he's the scapegoat. Maybe he's the fall guy. We've seen that before in the Packers organization. Yeah. We've seen Ed Donatell summarily dismissed.
Yeah, but if you're going to have a fall guy, then how does our special teams coach keep his job? I mean,
because they hired Ron Zook to take it away from him. Ron, the Zooker is out there, baby.
I mean, Kevin Green did win a Super Bowl as a linebacker.
And I will say, to that point, I love that McCarthy's gone back to putting more veterans back onto the special teams. We'll talk about that with Ty in the next segment, but specifically, one decision that I know a lot of Packer fans are, I won't say up in arms about, but they're nervous about. Anyway,
what do we got?
Okay, we got one more minute. So real quickly. I love this. Love this today. Mike at the podium. I don't know who it was. Didn't sound like one of the regulars. I think it may have been an ESPNer who asked this question, but Mike didn't seem particularly pleased about a certain line of questioning.
I feel good about a run defense. You know, I really don't get this. We're smaller. I mean, we may weigh less, but I don't think our D line's smaller. You know, we got some long levered guys. Definitely the anchors that we have on the edge of our 3-4. We've never had this kind of depth. So from a personnel standpoint, I feel very good about the people. And the ability to rotate different players in there, I think, will be a key. So we want to play more players. And I feel very good about the way the preseason's gone. And we'll start that rotation Thursday night.
I love that. And that's like Mike being in full on, look, I want to rip your head off, but I'm here at the podium and I have to be professional. So I'm going to answer your question without ripping your head off.
I think it's funny that I'm sorry. I know every beat writer has argued with this with me one-on-one, but I do one-on-one, literally face-to-face. We've had this conversation. Mm-hmm. Usually I'm not crazy drunk because if I was, they wouldn't like me anymore. It's always about how I do feel like Ted Thompson and the Green Bay Packers organization all have it pretty easy when it comes to the media. I'm sorry, but they don't have people up in their face and up in their grill like it really happens. Right. And it's not because they're a small town or has some of that, but it's just they get a lot of respect.
I agree with that.
I do think it's interesting that McCarthy gets so angry.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't really angry, but he does get
annoyed. But you can tell he's like, yes.
It's like, have you seen Belichick? Have you seen, like, it's just funny to me, you know? And it's like anything else. It's like, if that's all you're used to, then that annoys you, right?
Yep.
But if he did have it, like the Jets coach has it, or like the Giants coaches have it, they're cantankerous as both of them, you know? It's just, I don't know. The grass is always greener, right?
But I agree with your overall point. It's funny because I think the Packers are covered better than any team in the NFL.
Yeah, they are.
I don't think there's any
professionally,
question about that.
Professional like, media, well, just, amazing. Yes. Rob Domofsky, Jason Wilde, Ty Dunn, Wes Hodzkowicz, Pete Doherty,
Silverstein,
McGinn. I mean, it's the list goes on. And I totally screwed up Wes's name, by the way. Sorry about that.
But, you know, we need more Bob yelling at people.
Yeah,
we need more.
I'm
going to
find that clip, Nagler. I'm going to find that clip of Bob McGinn yelling at Ted Thompson about Brett Favre. Somebody find that clip for me. We have to find it.
Before we do that, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to be back on the line with our good friend Ty Dunn. So stick around. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line here at Packer Transplants Live with Mr. Ty Dunn, the Green Bay Packers beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ty, how the hell are you tonight, buddy?
Doing great. Just staring out my window here at the Spring Hill Suites Marriott, and it is raining. Surprise, surprise, it is raining in Seattle. I can report that. And Marshawn Lynch didn't talk to the media much at all. Not much has changed, I guess.
So Seattle is a cliche, is what you're saying. Very good. Very good. All right, let's dive right into this, man. Like, I know a lot has been made, and you actually wrote about this back in July when the Packers were just ready to kick off camp. What have the early returns been from the players that you've talked to in regards to the practice schedule? I know a lot's being made of McCarthy switching it up. Obviously, they didn't practice today, and I think I saw a lot of people in Seattle were surprised at that. They have much more of a run-through the day before the game now. How do you think that's affecting the players, and are they enjoying it?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, they're all optimistic about it. They're all for it. I don't know if they really have a choice, to be honest. I'd be surprised if, you know, a player just kind of came out and said, man, this sucks. I don't want to practice the day before the game. But I think that they're kind of open to anything. And, you know, when you have these seasons just kind of ravaged by injuries, you don't really ask questions. You take those gummy bears from the trainers during TV timeouts. You change up your practice. You just kind of embrace everything that's going on. So, yeah, but by and large, it seems like the players are kind of all for whatever Mike McCarthy has in store.
Now, you mentioned Marshawn Lynch's quasi-availability this afternoon. Was that as much fun as it sounded? There was loud rap music playing. Did he talk at all?
Oh, my God. I've never seen anything like this, Aaron. I mean, I mean, we're not talking like Wheezy or even Eminem. This was just loud, violent, aggressive rap music. I mean, I like rap, but this was at another level. And so basically, he pumps out that music at his locker, just at full blast. And it's not just doing it, you know, for kicks. I mean, he does it so cameras don't swarm his locker. I mean, you can't broadcast an interview with Marshawn Lynch if there's F-bombs and N-bombs and MF this, MF that, going around with the lyrics. So I was talking to a radio person out here, and she was livid. She's like, I can't use any of this stuff. I mean, it's... So there's a method to the Marshawn Lynch madness, and he's only doing it so he doesn't get fined. You know, he was fined $50,000 last year for not talking to the media. Appeals, they said, okay, if you meet your obligations this year, you know, you're off the hook, basically. If you don't, the fine is double. So he's just doing it just so he doesn't get fined that much money. It was pretty ridiculous, just unreal.
That's phenomenal. I will say, that's awesome. I'm sorry, that's awesome.
is kind of awesome.
Right?
It is awful as it is. You just don't see a scene like that in Green Bay. So, yeah, made the trip worth it today, I guess.
He's his own cat. I love it. Speaking of his own cat, being his own cat and being in Seattle, I know Richard Sherman spoke earlier this week. I saw a couple tweets from you about what he was talking about. I know he mentioned Aaron Rodgers breaking the pocket, looking for Jordy. Do you think the Packers throw his way at all on Thursday night?
You know what? I feel like the Packers can do exactly what they want to. I mean, this is actually a good matchup as far as Richard Sherman is concerned. Why would you throw his direction if he's just going to stay on that side? And last year, Jared Boykin was really the receiver that lined up on the Packers' right side, Sherman's left side, most all the season. So, you know, I think Jordy Nelson should get some pretty favorable matchups. And, you know, I talked to the defensive coordinator a little bit and asked him, you know, how much do you expect to see Nelson and Richard Sherman lined up on each other? And he kind of put it on the Packers. He kind of said, well, they like to move Nelson around and do different things with him, so I think we'll see it. Well, that was when Randall Cobb was out, you know, and Nelson had to play in the slot. I don't know why Green Bay would want that matchup, and it sounds like Sherman's just going to kind of play where Sherman does, and we just won't see that a lot.
Yeah, and I love Jordy was on with Dan Patrick earlier, a couple of weeks ago, and they asked him about that, and they asked him, you know, if Richard Sherman talks to him, is he going to say anything? And Jordy was like, nope, not going to say a word, which is, of course, like Richard Sherman and Jordy Nelson could not be more polar opposites. What's your take? Speaking of Randall Cobb, you mentioned him being out last year. Obviously, he's back now and announced as the number one punt returner. And I said earlier, I like Mike getting the veterans back into the mix on the special teams, you know, on the special teams, period. I like this move. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, their special teams units were really bad last year. I mean, across the board, and it wasn't just the return game, it was the coverage units. So, you know, Sean Slocum has said they want to try to incorporate starters, incorporate just their best players across the board more on special teams. So, you know, sticking Randall Cobb back there, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, he's a dynamic threat. I mean, we've all seen it, so you might as well put him back there. Let him touch the ball more often. See what he can do. And I wasn't a little surprised. I thought Micah Hyde might be the guy at first because he's the one who handled it last year. It's been a while since Randall Cobb has really had a chance to return a lot of punts. But yeah, it is a move that we're seeing out here in Seattle too. Earl Thomas, he's going to be returning punts for Seattle.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I love his attitude about it. I love him. His press conference today where he was saying he's excited to play both ways, and I love that he's embracing it. How do you think Randall Cobb has received this? It's funny, I haven't seen any quotes from him in regards to this.
Yeah, you know, I caught him in his locker, I guess, it would have been, 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half, and asked his about the return game, and he kind of went into autopilot and was like, yeah, but I always tell you guys, I'm going to be there for the team and do whatever I can, and I'm all for it, and I said, well, what about your market value? This is a contract year. Does this kind of help you in a way or hurt you, whatever? And, you know, he said his versatility is something that he can sell to teams, that he's a versatile threat. So I would think that it would only help him. I mean, if I'm Randall Cobb, I'd be all for it. It's, it's another opportunity to show what you can do, and injuries are going to happen regardless. So I think he's for it. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't be, why you wouldn't want to be on the field more.
Right, exactly. With the ball in your hand in a contract year, make things happen. I heard that. All right, here's the question du jour. And Corey and I were talking about it a little bit in the first half of the show. Want to get your take. Do you think Mike comes out, spreads it out, 3 and 4 wide receiver sets, runs his hurry-up offense, they're all very excited about it, or do you think he buttons it up and plays some power football early on?
Can I be a mixture of both?
I think you are punting.
Well, it depends what you mean by spread it out. I mean, when they spread it out there 2 years ago up here, it was just disaster. I mean, they gave, you know, their linemen no help when the roof was caving in, and he kind of stayed stubborn with the play calling and kept trying to, you know, beat a dead horse. And Cedric Benson had 2 carries in the first half, and Aaron Rodgers was sacked 8 times. And by the time they snapped out of it, they were able to kind of claw back into the game, and then we had the Hail Mary. So I don't know. They probably come out in that no huddle and try to run Lacy a lot through that, I would think. I don't know if they'll just come out and, you know, bring in 2 tight ends and pound away, but I think they'd like to go no huddle and still run the ball effectively with Lacy. Because that's the threat they need. You got to run at speed, and they have that in Eddie Lacy. Derek Quinn, the defensive coordinator here, he said that there's no way he's 230 pounds. He's just not buying that program.
All right. Prediction time. I don't know if you put it out there yet, but time to make some news. What's your prediction for Thursday night?
I'm telling you, it feels like you're at the edge of the earth out here. It is just a different place to play. It is so loud. This is a probably maybe an even better Seahawks team with Percy Harvin adding that dynamic. And defensively, they just keep refueling. I think it's a close game, but Seattle probably wins, I don't know, 27-24, something like that.
Ooh.
So that was Ty Dunn's last appearance on Packer Transplants. I kid. You're the man. Thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're busy out there. You're moving, you're grooving, doing it. Great stuff for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as always. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Ty.
Hey, thank you guys for having me anytime, and I look forward to catching you guys down the road here soon.
Sounds good. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Ty Dunn, beat writer, covering the Packers from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
And an overall good guy to hang out with.
Great guy to hang out with.
I mean, he's just a natural dude that does a really good...
Natural dude.
He just is.
I know.
He's just fun to hang out with. Like,
I agree.
Like, I can be like 50-50, you know? Like, some people like to hang out with me, and some people are like, nah, I can't stand that guy. You know?
Everyone likes Ty.
Everybody likes Ty.
It's hard not to like him. It's very true.
He's a good guy.
He's a good dude. All right. You ready? You ready for this? Ready for this nonsense?
What's happening?
It's time. What's happening?
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packers Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey loves it when I say that. First of all, I want to point out This Week in the Packers Blogosphere, yet another blog that I horrendously overlooked in the last 2 weeks when I was calling out Packer blogs. Got to give a shout out to Packer Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Packer Zone.
A classic.
If you don't follow Packer Zone on Twitter, get on that. And if you don't read Packer Zone stuff, do it. And I don't care that it's in Japanese, people. The Green Bay Packers are a worldwide institution. Google Translate is your friend. Read his stuff. It's awesome. Packer Zone, you're the man. People, get on that. But now, I want to give a little something. Well, speaking of following, I want you to follow Packer Zone. Speaking of following, Corey and I, mostly Corey, made a discovery this afternoon that it was just flabbergasting to us. Harry Sidney, former Packer running back, an overall great guy, hosts, co-hosts a show in Green Bay.
On WDUZ.
Just an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Awesome Packer.
Coach, player, commentator.
He's on Twitter.
He really is.
Harry Sidney 24 is his name.
And he has 159 followers.
People. That is absurd.
Come on.
159 followers?
Come on.
What are we doing with our lives, Packers fans?
Come on. Give the guy some follows.
Harry Sidney 24, get on it.
I understand Chris Hovel not being on Twitter, and if he was, because having 100 fans.
He would be savaged if he was.
I understand that, okay? And I actually love Chris Hovel. I love listening to him. I get it. I get why people knock on him, whatever. But Harry Sidney! 159
The man
followers.
Played at Lambeau Field. Harry Sidney 24.
That's probably good for 10 followers.
Get on. Whoa. Six or seven.
Okay, maybe six.
Sorry. But Harry Sidney 24. Get on it, people. That's shameful.
And tell him Cheesehead TV sent you.
Exactly.
By the way.
While you're at it. 159 followers. Are
it might
you
even
kidding
be less
me?
Than that.
I think, yeah, I was going to say, 159 sounds generous. I think it's 150.
I think it's like
153
or something.
I don't know. It's 150.
It's less than 200.
It's not a lot. He's an ex-Packer. It feels like this ex-Packer has been discarded.
No, Brad Stanley got it. He's following him.
By the Packer Twitterverse.
Brad, don't forget that. Don't forget that Cheesehead TV hashtag.
Let's forget this, people. Let's fix it and get Harry Sidney at least up over 500. I mean, this is nonsense. Anyway. All right. So Corey and I just wanted to... We're probably going to do this every week. A Cheesehead TV Twitter bump, if you will.
Twitter bump.
We're going to find somebody who has a shameful lack of followers. And we're going to try and help him out. So this week, Harry Sidney.
Oh, Jamie posted the link for Twitter, so you can all follow him.
Go follow him, people.
And, he's really funny. Like, when he has nothing to say to Chris Hovel, I need to learn.
I had forgotten.
When I have nothing to say to you, I need to just grunt. I need to just be like,
No, he does that thing where he does it. He tries to get himself in rhythm.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And then
it's really good.
Kickstart himself.
I like it.
But, dudettes, follow Harry Sidney on Twitter. Got
to
do it.
Let's just there's a couple things we didn't get to.
Uh-oh.
About the defense.
The defense, yes, you're right. The nickel and the dime. The packages. How are they going to play out? This is interesting. All the beat writers have said how, even in practice, they keep mixing and matching. Now, we see the depth chart, and at practice, Micah Hyde is lined up with the number ones across from Morgan Burnett at safety. But when the nickel and the dime personnel come in, they keep mixing and matching. And they've done it throughout the week, apparently. And obviously, we all know they did it throughout the preseason. I'm very interested to see who plays how much when they go sub packages, which, as we all know, is a majority of the time. That base 3-4 is kind of a relic of a bygone age. So it'll be interesting to see how much playing time Casey Hayward gets, how much playing time Devon House gets, who had a pretty darn good preseason.
Yeah.
How much your boy Jared Bush gets.
Please don't talk to me about Jared Bush.
How does Sean Richardson get in the mix? I mean, the guy who caused more turnovers than anyone in the preseason games. I mean, is he going to see the field? I mean, I don't know. I'm interested to see. I'm excited to see how they mix it up. And then finally on the defensive
side. The biggest thing, actually, both literally and figuratively.
speaking of the nickels, the Packers are expected to use Guyon, whoever you talk to, differ on the pronunciation, or Pennell, the rookie there, in the middle of the big nickel. Now, I like this idea. The idea that this was supposed to be VJ Raji's job, and obviously he's lost for the season. But this idea of we're going to play a nickel, but we're going to have some more heft up front to try and obviously in case they, because traditionally, if the offense sends out four wide receivers, you counter with a nickel or a dime. So you've got all these extra DBs on the field.
That's what I do on Madden.
But now the problem is if you run Marshawn Lynch, who is capable of destroying smaller people in front of him, as we've seen numerous times, how do you combat that? So the Packers are thinking of this big nickel. Now, obviously, one guy is not going to make a huge difference. But
if that guy can take up two people.
Exactly.
Ding, 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 ding.
It changes everything they're going to do up front. If he can
that's
occupy
a big if,
two
though.
Plays
that's
them.
A, there's so much unknown in that right there. Like, just that. Yeah. Like,
especially since...
In the middle of our defensive line...
Especially since Guyan's been on the field for all of, like, a week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a question mark.
Yeah.
So, a huge question mark.
Eight, literally and figuratively, yet again. But, yes, so the big nickel. Not to be confused with, you know, Brandon Chiller coming in for Big Oki back in the day. Big but this Oki. Is big nickel.
I think they need to bring Jumbo back. I know that's on offense, but...
I know, and I know that's your favorite formation of all time.
Jumbo!
U-71...
I remember when I would play you at Madden.
No, don't even.
And my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah.
I would play Jumbo.
Yes, you would.
And then I would be like, oh, I'm going to do Jumbo on you, Nagler. And then he'd be like, oh, I'm going to get you. And I'd be like, no, you're not. I'm telling you what I'm running, and I'm still going to score a touchdown. That was my favorite thing.
Speaking of Madden.
I'm on it.
This guy.
Cheesehead killer.
This guy downloads Madden.
Actually, let me put my username.
Talks all sorts of junk to me on text or email. I can't remember which. And then I never got the invite, dude.
I sent you an invite, dude.
I never got it. Never saw it. Fired it up last night. Ready to
accept.
For
those of you on Madden, there's my user.
Xbox, mind you. No PS4 nonsense.
No, Xbox One.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Maybe Xbox One and Xbox 360 can't talk to each other. But it's all Xbox Live, right?
I've got Xbox One. What do you got?
Xbox One.
Yeah, so do I.
I sent you an invite.
I didn't get it, dude.
Maybe it went in your spam, dude.
Probably did. Oh, my God. I'm sure this is riveting entertainment for our viewers and listeners.
Cheesehead
right
killer for those of you with no E, by the way.
Oh, my God. Anyway, all right, let's wrap this up because we have devolved into nonsense.
Oh, let's do it.
Corey, you're the man. I'll whoop your ass at Madden later.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I most certainly will.
No, you won't.
Well, that'll wrap it up for Corey and Aaron. Wait a second. Before we do that, we need a prediction here.
Oh, yeah.
We need a prediction from you, and we need a prediction from me. And you're not going to skate with your little nonsense like you do every year about, oh, they're going to win by 100, or they're going to kill them, they're going to blow them out.
I don't
oh, it's
do
the
that.
Packers. Oh, yeah. You do it every week. This year, it's going to be different.
Nagler.
I want actual scores and man of the game. Like
Packers
the
win
game.
28-14.
28-14, and who's the player of the game?
Aaron Rodgers.
It's original.
I actually have a question for you.
Oh, God. Now what?
Who are your top? Okay. Who are your top three Packers to watch this year?
This year.
That
aren't Aaron Rodgers?
You didn't know about last year.
Wow. Okay. J'Ron Elliott's got to be at the top.
Why you got to take mine?
Because he's because the moment I saw him on the practice field, I was like, that guy can play. J'Ron Elliott's got to be number one. I didn't know about last year.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
I mean, we just talked about one of them.
The problem...
It's either going to be Pennell or Guyon.
Right, or Guyon. Well, no, but I knew him from the Vikings.
Okay, so
Pennell. Him play. Maybe Pennell, yeah. And then...
Lindsley.
I would have said Carl Bradford before I watched him not go anywhere against people in the preseason. I don't know. That's tough. Watch this space. I guess I'll find out.
Oh, you don't even have
J'Ron Elliott's number one.
I mean,
because I know, you know,
what's not to
the
like?
The problem
about
is like when you cover the draft, you really get to know all the rookies. Like, I know stuff about Jared Aberderis that I should never know, but that sounded bad.
You
anyway, about him as a football player,
you and Caribou.
Yeah, but now he's not playing, so I don't have to worry. Jeff Janis, didn't know anything about Jeff Janis. Excited to see if he even makes the field.
I was thinking about getting a J'Ron Elliott jersey. But then I realized.
Slow down.
Then I realized that I have a mic. I have.
Don't even do it, Banky. You are the kiss of death.
Yeah,
when it comes to
I'm
jerseys.
Not going
to
do it.
What do you have? You have Mike McKenzie gone the next year. Who'd you get after that? You got somebody after
I
that.
I have Amon Green. Like I had Amon Green. I had.
There was somebody else though.
Yeah, there
was
somebody else.
He was gone.
I have to look
year.
In my closet.
Yeah.
Mike McKenzie though. That was
Mike McKenzie was the was start of it. Anyway, all right. So my prediction for the game. Packers by 3 late in the game. Aaron Rodgers, much like he did here in New York against the Giants, sets them up with, it looks like the Seahawks have won. It's like, you know, I don't know, 20-17, 24-17, something like that. You know, late in the game, the Packers get a score, blah, 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 blah. It gets close, and then Aaron Rodgers, with seemingly not enough time left on the clock, somehow marches them down the field in range for a Mason Crosby field goal. Crosby, good. Because it's not from the right hash in 40 yards out.
That's too much heart attack for me.
Ball game.
That's too much heart attack.
Where are you watching the game?
Probably a kettle of fish.
There you go. All right.
The kettle.
Yeah. I'll be at home because someone's got to put up gut reactions afterwards.
That'd be me. I mean, I might be at home too. I do like to watch games by myself.
I know. Like, it's stressful, right?
I really don't like to be with other people when I'm watching the Packers.
I'm so putting that on
no,
a t-shirt.
No, not in life, Nagler.
I know.
I'm watching the Packers. I really don't. Like, Matt Weir has to, like, tug me out of the house. And I'm like, I gotta handle the live blog. And it's actually not about the live blog because I'm watching the live blog.
Right.
It's just I don't like people bothering me.
I am so with you. I don't want their nonsense in my face while the Packers are playing. No. I hear you, dude. I'm right there.
Even Packer fans. Actually, sometimes Packer fans annoy me. Certain Packer fans at Kettle of Fish annoy me.
Oh, but that's a subject for another day. We're not going to go there. We're all love and light. Packers are 0-0. A lot of ball game left. A lot of season left. It all starts Thursday night. Thanks so much for joining us. Corey Behnke, Aaron Nagler. Thanks so much to Ty Dunn, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, joining us this evening. And thank you to you guys out there on the live blog, watching this later on the site, you download the podcast on iTunes, whatever you're doing, thank you so much. You're absolutely the reason we do this. We love the Green Bay Packers, and so do you. You make this a unique experience for Packer fans everywhere, worldwide. Thank you so much. Packers 1-0 after Thursday night. Go Pack, go. We'll see you next week.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.